Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Winning has a price. And leadership has a price. So I pull people along when they didn't want to be pulled. I challenge people when they don't want to be challenged. And I earned that right because my teammates came after me. They didn't endure all the things that I endured.
Michael Jordan is down in pain. Michael Jordan got taken out. He's hurt.
Detroit came down hard and is injured.
The Pistons have moved on.
Once you join the team, you live at a certain standard that I played the game. And I wasn't going to take anything less. Now, that means I had to go in there and get in your ass a little bit, and I did that.
Sometimes I dream
that he... Yeah, you did. You got no laughs, man. There ain't no question about it last night. Hey, Zach in Hollywood, good morning and happy day after Mother's Day. And got to ask you guys, man. Every week, every Sunday night now, we come back Monday morning after watching 2 hours of Michael Jordan and The Last Dance, and there's just unbelievable new stuff, right? Whether how competitive he was and how he'd have been tough to play with, but how good he was and what motivated the guy, and who was he going to take shots at? Gary Payton took over for Dan Majerle. Who took over for Clyde Drexler. I mean, it's unbelievable. Hey, I will tell you, man, I think it's great. I just asked you this question. Why, after all these years, first of all, what makes a guy get a film crew when you're like in your mid-30s and do all this stuff? Like, who would do that? That would be number one, knowing that someday... You know, someday I might throw out a documentary. Like, years and years from now, when I'm all set in life and a friggin' billionaire and own my own team and take Nike to a level like no one ever thought would happen. Let me go ahead and get to why. Why would you do it? Why would you do it now? And listen, it's not fluffy. It's not nice to everybody. I mean... You punch and hit your guard in the eye. You dot his eye.
Right.
You called a lot of good dudes, man. A lot of all-stars out. A lot of guys that got to the. You called them all out. The things you just brought up, Zach, too, while we were talking. Things that motivated this guy from
right.
Head coach blowing him off, walking by him and not saying hello to him before game one at a nice dinner place to... making stuff up after a couple of guys had great games against him, no-name guys, and how it just motivated him, the B.J. Armstrong stuff. I mean, that's a different dude, man. That's a whole different level for people bitch about stars and how driven he was. By the way, I want to ask you guys a question this morning before we start here on a Monday morning. Who's the best overall so far? Anybody you've seen that's been involved? I'm just curious who you guys think has looked the best and maybe you have a lot more respect for now than ever. I have one guy. I have one person. I just want to know what you guys think.
My easy answer to that is Phil Jackson.
Yep.
For everything that was going on in the background, for everything that was kind of on the forefront that we didn't know about, Phil Jackson was obviously the catalyst of all this stuff. He was obviously, he truly was the Zen master, having to deal with, I don't know, about 500 different personalities, including Michaels, including Scotty's, including Dennis's at one point, including both Jerry's, the owner and the general manager. He was in the middle of absolutely everything. And it was something we kind of knew about, but this obviously dives much more into detail by watching this.
Well, I remember Dummy here used to do radio when this thing started, and after the Laker thing and after the Chicago thing, after he picked off about 9 championships, I used to say, hey, man, anybody can coach those guys. I remember saying dumbass stuff like, well, anybody can coach those guys. Like, just to roll out the basketball, you know, a real dumb comment. And I used to make it. And now I've got great appreciation for his ability to keep these high-maintenance teams together, right, get guys to play together, get guys to admit they were wrong, build these teams together, man. And it's not easy, man. That stuff is not easy. So I'm with you, man. Phil Jackson, let me ask you, who would be number two? If we were to do number two, I got a clear-cut number two, believe it or not.
I don't know if I have a clear-cut number two.
I do. Kukoc.
That's actually a good one. You're right.
He got the crap beat out of him, comes over here, keeps his mouth shut, actually hits a lot of big shots, especially when MJ was gone and went to baseball, which just all this stuff from his father to, I mean, that. Everybody's going to have favorite parts of that. I got to give him credit, man. The documentary, and any idiot that didn't get a chance to produce this, it's ripping it, looks like a complete ass clown.
Right, right.
Because the stuff was just amazing. And I'll tell you what makes it overall, because I always go back to LeBron and MJ and all the young people. And really, even some of these young guys are going, wow, this first chance I really have had. I've seen the Michael Jordan highlights, and I'm aware of the shoes. But, man, I didn't realize, number one, how good he was. Number two, how competitive he was. And I didn't realize he took 15 months off and came back and won 3 more.
Right.
And even coming back late, flirted with getting back, you know, to the finals again. And you know what else I didn't realize? Their teams were pretty good without him. Right. Those teams weren't bad without him. Now, there would be a lot of cities that go, I'll take the teams without Michael Jordan just to get that deep into the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that was crazy stuff last night.
Wait a minute. If those were your clear-cut winners, who was your clear-cut from just these two episodes last night? Was there a clear-cut loser for you or someone that, not even loser, I'm just saying,
well, who looked one, bad? Yeah, Scottie Pippen. Come on, you know that. Right, you set me up for that. Scottie Pippen.
Absolutely.
Not going in a game is one thing, and they said years ago, this will stick with him forever. People right. will remember, and it's true. It's true. I remember, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I was doing radio. Hell, I wasn't even brand new at radio. I've been doing radio for a while, and I remember everybody ripping Scottie Pippen for not going in the game, and then how bad he looked, especially after Kukoc with under
it.
2 seconds left, turns and hits a shot, which hit a bunch of clutch shots. That's why Phil Jackson put him in that situation. And Scottie wouldn't inbounds the play. Scottie Pippen's an interesting dude. Very likable, low-key guy. Been laughing about all this stuff. Got all the same rings. Was really good the years that MJ didn't play, the year and change that Michael was out. But, boy, not going in a game. When Phil Jackson says you're going to inbounds the pass in a playoff game, not some schlep game, in a playoff game, and he goes, no. And Phil just got next guy up, get him the ball, same play. Guy turns and hits the jumper. Yeah, it was a lot of crazy stuff. And for some reason, if you didn't see it tonight, you might want to go to episode 7 and 8 and get a look. One more week of it going down. There's going to be a lot more stuff. I can't imagine what it'll be like. But yeah, even Michael Jordan sitting there and at his age now and doing some of these sound bites after some of the stuff from a long, long time ago, obviously, getting very emotional last night when said, you know, about how tough you are on your teammates, that you're not a very light guy and you can be kind of the nice version, ass clown, in the morning. He got a little choked up on that, man. And it didn't seem like, you know, we've heard guys now, especially coaches, regretful for not having better relationships with their players. And, you know, MJ doesn't seem apologetic for anything. He goes, they got their rings. That's what it's all about. That's why we're there. And he felt like that thing got a little soft while he was gone, didn't he? Thought it was a little bit of a he said there were some new guys on the team, didn't know how to win. And when he got back, he was going to show everybody and knock them around a little bit. But yeah, man, that would have been tough. That would be tough on guys, having not only your coach getting after you, but the best player on the team constantly,
right,
constantly screaming and, right, and taunting you and trying to get more out of you. But, you know, you don't always see that when somebody's riding you like that. This is pretty interesting stuff, man. Everything and how close guys were to him. Very unique dude. You feel he's the best player in basketball after watching this? Has this changed your mind on what you thought of him before?
Well, luckily for me, I thought beforehand he was still the best player to ever play, and now this is kind of solidifying it for me because he literally took those months off in between, came back, Nick Anderson fired him up by saying 45 don't look like 23. That pissed him off. He came back after that. Then George Karl pissed him off. Like, it's just amazing how the littlest thing in the world or the biggest thing in the world to him pissed him off and motivated him to get right back to where he was before he left for the hiatus to go play baseball. And then playing baseball, I guess I didn't realize it or off the top of my head that he started off playing and he wasn't the greatest in the world, but he had a 13-game hitting streak. The littlest things in the world are coming out now that everyone knew about before, but you didn't really look into it so much in detail. And, you know, I mean, he batted 200 or 202, so he wasn't great, but he started off with a 13-game hit streak. I don't even remember that. That's how far back it goes. But it's just the little things that I'm watching during this that he finds to motivate him or he makes up to motivate him. Like, I thought George Karl and Nick Anderson were my honorable mention losers last night, and the other big winner last night was a guy I never heard of before, LeBradford Smith, who he made up a story just so he can go and get 40 against a guy the next night. It was amazing.
It was, and just ongoing. And by the way, goes around to this, as we always say about baseball, the curveball has kept a lot of guys out of the big leagues, and we saw it again last night. They started throwing and breaking pitches, and
game over.
MJ went, damn, I knew this was coming. They stopped throwing me fastballs in a different game. But you're right. Guy that hadn't played baseball that long, 13, 14 years.
Right.
Still able to go out at a double-A level. Not single-A, not independent league.
Right.
Jumped right into double-A. Hell, we see guys go from double-A to the bigs. Don't even go to triple-A. So that was it. Hey, we got a lot of cool stuff going on this morning to get to. David Weinstein's going to join us this morning. We got a few things to talk to him about. By the way, Coach K, maybe not as clean as everybody thought. Like, everybody else is dirty, and Coach K was squeaky clean. Yeah, man. The old, I didn't know what was going on. I had no idea. Zion Williamson actually getting called out by a marketing company in a big lawsuit. Actually, from down here, believe it or not. Gina Ford is filed it down here in Dade County, and just wants Zion to admit what happened. And boy, I'll tell you what, it was like, I'm not completely surprised. I know we've heard stuff before. Don't you think if teams are getting in the one-and-done business heavily, the big guys, the guys that are clear-cut could go to the NBA, the one-and-done guys, it just seems like it could get a little sleazy. Because those guys are 1 year away from the NBA, right? Those guys are 1 year away from getting big contracts and playing. So that came out. We're going to have a lot more on that stuff. Actually, a lot of stuff going on here. A lot of news with the NBA and the MLB, Major League Baseball. We'll jump in all that. Miami Heat get some good news this week to actually open up American Airlines Arena. We'll have that. So a lot of stuff here on a Monday to jump back to. Hopefully all you guys were good on Mother's Day, came through strong, made it, got a passing grade. My daughter's did a great job for my wife. I was very, very happy. I didn't do much, but they did a great job. Hey, we got to go to break. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right, we're going to give you a little update here on COVID-19 and the coronavirus powered by AirPros $79 service call. Call the pros that know. AirPros, acrepair.com. Latest numbers as of yesterday night, Florida 40,596 cases. Miami-Dade's got 14,007. Broward 158, Monroe 88 cases. The biggest news to come yesterday was that Naples has shut down its beaches once again after officials say visitors didn't practice social distancing. They were taking pictures of cars at the beaches, Joe. Lots of them had Broward and Dade license plates, even Palm Beach license plates. So they have shut down the beaches once again. They're going to stay closed until a city council meeting can be held Monday to discuss solutions. So if you were planning a trip down to the West Coast from Broward or Dade or even Palm Beach counties with a plate that does not say Naples or somewhere around there, then yes, you will not. You will be asked to leave at this point, but they have shut down their beaches. So a lot going on in the state, including phase one, really coming to a big pull today, where a lot of places are opening up today, according to the governor. More information on what's going to be open around town or almost around town during the show today. This update on COVID-19 and the coronavirus, powered by AirPros, $79 service call. Call the pros that know, AirPros, acrepair.com.
Leave it to the people from South Florida to mess it up, man. We almost went over, and last second, let's just stay home. It ain't going to kill us. Stay one more weekend. Stay, you know, for a while. We'll see. And sure enough, those old Dade and Broward license plates just decided they'll take the show over there and not pay attention to the rules and regulations. There you go. That always works.
And I knew a lot of people that did go down there over the weekend or right before the weekend. So I could tell that the people down there are probably not happy with any of us right now. Right.
Yeah. So you say you couldn't even get a hotel like on the beach, or you could get the hotel, but you couldn't go down to the beach?
I think that what happened was is that they opened beaches to social distancing, and there were so many people visiting that they weren't doing their best job of social distancing down there on the beach. It says visitors didn't practice social distancing, and now Naples has shut down its beaches once again.
Yeah, their beaches. Okay.
Right.
So they were good. They were good to just look at they could at least look at the ocean.
Right.
But what a teaser, hanging out the damn pools all day and not being able to go down to the beach. And
correct.
I know a lot of people like going over there and walking around, seeing all the seashells and all that stuff on the beach. All right, so we got a lot of other stuff to get to here this morning. So the NBA looking at a lot of different game plans, practice facilities getting ready to open. Matter of fact, looks like the Miami Heat are got the green light from the mayor yesterday for voluntary workouts starting Wednesday at American Airlines Arena to start the slow process. Some interesting things came out that honestly I didn't know. Now I'm cheating. How about this? 40% of NBA revenue is fans at games. How about that?
I did not know that, right?
40% of NBA revenue is fans grabbing seats and obviously concessions and merchandise and all that stuff. So that talking about finishing this thing up, maybe going to an isolated location, definitely no fans to try to get this thing done. I know Shaq came out and said we should just close it down and let it go. So that was the NBA news. The MLB news, trying for an 80-game schedule. It looks like there's a couple different scenarios out there they're looking at. One is just play against your own division. Other one is play against, in the case of the Marlins, you'll play against the National League and American League East. So you'll play the two in both divisions, the Eastern Division. And they would do that in all the different ones. And so they're trying everything, trying to find the safest one or two locations to play these games. So obviously there's a lot of work. I know some players still want to make sure they're safe and how are they going to do this and everything else. So there's still a lot of work ahead before we get to all this stuff. And I can't even imagine. These guys have had 2 months off. 2 months off and hey, we're not shutting it down. We're just coming up with a new game plan, trying to figure it. And of course, the other one has got to be asking players to take a pay cut and how the unions will handle that and the players, how they're going to feel about taking a pay cut with everything going on. And I would just say this to all the players, not that they listen to anybody, but everybody's taking a pay cut right now. So if you think you're going to get any sympathy that you have to take a pay cut to play your sport, you will get zero.
Right.
You will get. I know they're trying to come back, but we're playing with the coronavirus risk. That's not going to be enough because there's a lot of people that would love to have their jobs and work with the coronavirus risk right now. Would just love to not be unemployed. Or to find out they've been furloughed or just lost their job altogether. So I'm guessing, you know, if this thing goes to the public, and I know, you know, they're all hoping, there's no way, nobody to blame. You can't blame the owners for what's going on. You can't blame the players. You know, it's an unfortunate situation that everybody in the world is dealing with.
Right.
But, yeah, there's not going to be a lot of sympathy if you got a chance to come back. Obviously, the league is trying to do it as safe as possible, but boy, there is a lot of different parts of this thing that you know, trying to get worked out, and it will be interesting to see. By the way, numbers in a lot of these cities have not dropped. So that's where we are on all this stuff. The other topic that's pretty interesting is this Coach K situation with Zion Williamson. And the lawsuit, if you haven't seen it, from Prime Sports Marketing. I guess Zion Williamson left Prime Sports Marketing to go to another company, broke his deal. So they basically want Zion to admit that your parents received money and gifts and other benefits from persons acting on behalf of Duke University and Nike influenced you to play at Duke.
Not the cleanest thing in the world up there in Duke, huh?
Well, listen, man, we've always had this thing. The Coach K is squeaky clean, and he does it differently than everybody else. And Coach K kind of jumped in after he saw what Kentucky – this is the way I always read it. So Kentucky was just owning the one-and-dones. They were just – they were in on the one-and-dones. And it seemed like one day – Duke said, you know what? Enough of this one and done stuff. We're jumping in the business too. We're going to take it to a new level. And so anyway, the Zion stuff comes out. One of the great freak shows athletically we've had come out of college in a long, long time. And now we've got this company, marketing company, apparently knows a lot of stuff to come out and say all this stuff with money and gifts and benefits and all this other stuff that the stepfather and the mother was getting while Zion was there for a cup of coffee, right? One basketball season.
I like how it says directly and or indirectly to influence him to go to Duke University to play basketball. And I also like how it says in one of the articles that it wasn't just Nike, but it was Adidas benefits also, because it was an Adidas school, I guess, that Zion was saying I might go to also. It's a smart move by Zion and Zion's family. Well, I might go to Duke, but I might also go here, so let me just get it from both, you know. Smart move. Why not?
So I always love this one. So have you ever heard an athletic director come out and rip Adidas or Nike, especially when they're Adidas or Nike school?
I don't believe no.
It's such a conflict. It's such a conflict. Under Armour, I mean, all of them. And you know, they're trying to tie up all the schools and all the big schools and all the big programs and put these head coaches on the board, which gives them more money and all this stuff. And I'm like, so when they have these runners, and every we just blame the runners, right? The sleazy guy, the guy that goes around, does the dirty work behind the scenes and deals with the parents and deals with what's it going to take to get you go to our Nike school or Adidas school. The whole thing, this goes right back to what we even dealt with Coach L down here a little bit with Miami. It's like everybody's talking about the system broken. System broken. Well, it's not system broken. Unless we're talking about alumni, we're talking about those shoe companies. And if you get a hot prospect, they're going to want to sign him. They're all going to want it because they know it's going to be a quick trip to college, and they want to be able to get it under control so that they can control to the next level, because you never know when you're going to have the next Michael Jordan shoe, right? And somebody that's going to make your company a lot of money.
But this is a perfect example of why this whole one-and-done thing sucks, because Zion Williamson shouldn't have been in college.
No.
I mean, there's no question that he was like a man among boys in playing college basketball, but that's not even the point. The point is that he should have been able to go straight to the NBA. He even got hurt playing college basketball, but there's just no reason for him to be there.
Well, let me ask you this one. It's kind of interesting. If Zion was under these new rules that they're talking about, how much money would he have made at Duke?
The G League, though? I mean, that's not... But even being in the G League or anything like that is not a good option for this guy. Like, he needed to be – this whole one-year thing is insane that the NBA has.
But I agree.
Listen, I understand what you're saying. You want to make money off his likeness and all that, Joe, but it's nothing compared to what he would have made in the NBA for a year.
Oh, I don't know, man. Zion with that smile and those freakish – that talent.
Right.
How hot would that guy have been on products, not just locally but nationally?
Right.
I mean, how many commercials that guy would have been making? Zion Williamson would have made seven figure money for 1 year, right?
No, he would have made money, Joe, but not NBA money. Not if he was the first pick in the NBA draft the year before.
No, I agree. No, I agree.
For a college kid, he was still made. You're right.
Oh my God,
at least $1 million.
But you call that's the funny thing is you call him a college kid. How many classes do you think he went to? Cared about being there? The guy played basketball and he left.
You heard these stories about these guys at Kentucky. Well, how much school before you flunk out, you're done. Like, right? You don't even get a chance to go on the Joe Rose double secret probation. No, you don't even get a chance to do that, man. It's like, yeah, I'm done. That was our joke at where I went to school. Mike White, you know, we had the same problem as everybody else. USC used to get all the great players. And then Cal got kind of with a lot of other schools in the Pac-8 and Pac-10 back then. And so Mike White just said, we're going to raid these junior colleges where these guys didn't qualify coming out of high school. And they just want to play football. So they come in and stay just eligible enough to get their 2 years in Division I football. Most of them flunked out. Right after in January, flunked out the first semester, and they were done, but they got their 2 years in. So the school said, hey, you're gone. And the coach got, yeah, sorry, but hey, you got a chance to get drafted or you got a chance to, you know, to play big-time football, and they're gone. Well, it's the same thing for a lot of these guys, right? Then we hear the Ben Simmons stuff. I mean, come on.
Right. That was the greatest, right?
How quick a cup of coffee was that going to LSU?
Well, he basically told his coaches in the beginning of the first semester at school, I'm going to be the number one pick, so I don't really need to go to class, and you know, practice has got to be, you know, when I make it also. Like, they all knew that, and he knew that he was there. It's the biggest joke that there is, the one and done. The biggest joke there is.
I just crack up because I don't think they have the balls to go after Kentucky, Kansas. We can go through all these schools. All those guys that we wiretapping, they all still have their jobs.
Right.
Nobody's taking off, right? The assistants or the runners or the fall guys. So it never goes directly to the shoe companies, and it never goes directly to the big guys running the basketball programs. It's that sleazy runner. Like, all of a sudden, that guy was working on his own. That sleazy guy in between that was working between the head coach, do you want him? I can get him. Nike said they pick up the money. I mean, I'm just sitting back watching this, and I get it, man. I get it. There's no reason those coaches aren't going to rat each other out because, I got to believe a lot of them are doing it. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. And so this this whole thing is just turned into a mess. And I'm not going to be surprised if Coach K, first of all, you don't think basketball coaches know exactly what's going on. And if they don't, I mean, you want to talk about lack of institutional control.
Oh, yeah.
What do those guys have? I mean, your job is to know what your assistant coaches are doing, what the recruiting department's doing. When you got a big contract like Duke has with Nike, pretty good idea that you want to know who you're dealing with, who your basketball rep is for Nike and what they're doing and who they're out in the good old AAU Travel League basketball, keeping an eye on who they might be sending your way or helping you with those new Nikes. So
what are basketball coaches dealing with? Somewhere up in the 12 to like 18 player range at most? And a football coach is dealing with how many guys? 80 guys, 85 guys at the time, too. So the basketball coaches, more than the football coaches, have to know, or at least should know, what's going on with all their players.
And the only one that ever gets hit is Louisville.
Right.
I mean, I'm almost tired of pouncing on that guy. I mean, right.
How dirty was he, though? He had to have been the dirty.
Oh, no. He must have been. Plus, he must, like, yeah, they must have a lot on him. But
wow.
You think he's not, like, I feel like he's about at just one drink away from going, hey, man, I recruit against all the big boys. Don't think it was just me, man, okay? Right. All right.
Let me tell you who else.
Me and my right. Adidas contract. Screw right. you, man.
Right, right.
Yeah. A lot of crazy stuff going on. I just love, man. They couldn't wait to slam dunk the U, and I thought, wow, they're going to start really cracking down on all these schools, and I'm like, apparently not. Apparently, it looks like to me that the NCAA is scared to death of some of these big programs and these shoe companies, right? You don't want to burn the bridge of the monies that are coming in to support some of those shoe contracts with these schools. They're big and they do marketing, you know. So I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is. This may be a topic. It was a topic 20 years ago. It'll probably be in 20 more years, Zach, people will be sitting around still talking about how do we clean this thing up, and especially in football and basketball, well, right?
Do you see the NCAA surviving that long? Because there's a lot of talk in college football now about these bigger conferences just breaking away.
Well, I've heard about the Power Five conferences doing this.
Well, they don't need the NCAA. Going on what do they need it for?
I keep hearing about the five powerful commissioners, Swofford and the rest of them. I haven't seen any threat that they're ready to take on and go separate. I mean, I've heard from some of their big coaches and things, but I don't know. The NCAA is definitely broken. I don't know if they can handle as big as this thing got. The money took off. Now they got their ESPN college channels on, right, for different conferences. That's going to generate a crap load of money once things get back to normal. Hey, we got to go to break here, man. I got yapping. This is what happens. Three cups of coffee before six today. I got up rolling, man. That's what the MJ thing does to you, Zach. The MJ thing, the Last Dance documentary last night, got me again, man. I was covered like a glove. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment. All right, welcome back, and good Monday morning to everybody. It might be up early this morning for whatever reason. Still working out of the house. I did. Been doing a little walking in the morning. I haven't noticed a lot of traffic around here. People getting up early, going to work these days. So it looks like everybody's working out of the house. So anyway, it's nice to have you with us this morning. If you are up, a crazy one happened a couple of days ago. I don't usually talk a lot about the recruiting stuff, but since I spent some time with this guy, I just wanted to share it. Very strange. Isaiah Walker out of Norland High School, a four-star offensive tackle. He did what a lot of these guys are doing now, graduate early to go up to Florida where he had signed as one of the top players in South Florida, one of the top offensive linemen. Went up there, came home like everybody, right, after this whole coronavirus thing. Came back home and said, hey, I'm going to the U. And they had a scholarship left, so we're trying to figure out if he's going to get his year of eligibility or not. I guess a lot of that depends on Florida and whether they let him go or not. But it was a guy that was getting recruited by everybody. I mean, all the big schools. It was a great get for Florida. I do nothing but compliment the recruiting that the Florida Gators really have picked it up here, especially in South Florida. But that was one of their big catches. And he had kind of flirted with some other SEC schools and again, got recruited by all the big guys. If you look at the list and aware of it, big left tackle, 300 pound, 305, it's going to be at UM. So they had one scholarship, trying to decide if it was going to go to a transfer or some other guys trying to wait to get eligible and stuff. And it's a pretty damn easy decision to make, right? If you got a guy, Isaiah Walker. So he went through a couple of practices. I don't know how many practices the Florida Gators got in spring, but came back home and said, you know what? I'm not going back. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a surprise there. I don't know how often you see a guy. And I will say this, the most difficult time, I can't imagine. It was hard enough when you graduate from high school that summer. And a couple months later, you go to camp and you're so far behind and you just feel like, I mean, I wanted to come home too. I just had a father that told me no. Because, you know, they put you at the very end of, they put you in the scholarship down at the bottom. So you started about fifth string with all those players, especially back then. You're running scout team. You feel like all of a sudden, what the hell happened, man? I'm no longer one of the best players. I'm now one of the worst players. Your confidence is shot. You're getting the crap knocked out of you by 21, 22-year-old guys that know the system. They're playing at about 200 miles an hour. You're playing at about 3 miles an hour. You can't get out of the slow lane. So all this stuff goes on. It's by far the most difficult jump for me of anything. I thought from college to pro, outside of learning the offense, once you get it, it's the stuff just comes easier at that point when you're 21, 22 years old. So that's the most difficult time. And so whatever it was that happened at Florida,
right,
which not that far away. I mean, it's not like, you know, I had a daughter came home a lot from Gainesville.
Right.
She used to take that 4.5 hour trip or whatever it is. According to how many times you want to stop at Dunkin' Donor, you got to go to the bathroom or something to keep going, man. You're rolling there.
So the trick is, go to the bathroom right beforehand. Just get home. That's the trick.
Right.
Just get home. Fill it up. Right.
Yep. No, I'm with you.
I made that trip about 500 times, and honestly, the right beforehand was hurry up and eat. Don't eat too much before we get on the road. Here's a little drink. Go to the bathroom before you go, and let's just get home in 4 hours, if not under. Right.
Yeah. No. And for me, if it was after doing radio, I'd have to stop and, you know, get a little juiced up again to
about
halfway.
A little coffee, right.
Yeah, a little something.
Yeah.
But anyway, Isaiah Walker says he's tired of that trip. He's staying here. So a little bit of a surprise by that, but man, a great pickup for the University of Miami being able to get that. So anyway, we had a crazy night. Sunday nights now have become Michael Jordan and The Last Dance, and a lot of great stuff, man, on these documentaries. The first eight of them, 7 and 8 last night again, and we got two more left. But yeah, boy, it's been all over the place. It's been really interesting to see. And by the way, doesn't matter how good the teams are, don't ever think they're all perfect and they don't all have their issues within. Whether it's something happens in practice, off the court, during a game, egos, that thing has been really... he's the most competitive guy I've ever seen. I've never seen a guy driven that much, even during practice. You know, I see guys do walkthrough and stuff. I mean, we got guys now, they're always right. Load management, I'm tired.
Right.
I'm watching those guys practice. Yeah, that was a different animal, man.
Well, can you just imagine one of the Bulls teammates, whether it's Scotty or Tony or Steve Kerr, B.J. Armstrong, you name the guy that was on the bench outside of Michael, needing a night or two off in between games, you know, just for load management, because not that he's injured, you know, doesn't have a, you know, a twisted ankle or a busted knee or his elbow's hurting or something like that, but just because, you know, he's a little bit, you know, fatigued and needed a game off. Can you imagine that going on in Jordan's teams? Because I can't.
Can you imagine Michael Jordan playing with LeBron James and he gets his load management games?
No.
He hasn't done it much this time, but I was wondering if when he left here, I was wondering if we're ever going to see him. He seemed to have all his load management games friggin' down here.
Right, of course.
What did he play? Apparently he played in Orlando the night before or something.
Right.
And it was like, yeah, I'm going to have to take a load management game against the Heat. You're going, hey, wait a minute, man. That's where you play. Don't do that to us, man.
Imagine if Kawhi was the Pippen on Jordan's teams and he needed it. You know, he could never play in back-to-backs and couldn't do this and only played, you know, three times a week instead of four or two instead of three because he wanted that extra game off to get ready for the playoffs. Can you imagine a guy like that playing on a Jordan team? It would never work.
Well, no, never work. Kawhi Leonard, he'd run him out. Kawhi would call his agent and say, I got to get out of here.
I got to get out of here, right.
He could never play with his personality and his makeup. And the other thing is, and I wanted to bring this up, you just noticed back then, and this is an old school thing, you don't hear about agents and you don't hear about family members, right? They were around, and don't get me wrong, you know, they were important and stuff, but you just didn't see him as involved. Like, we've heard about Kawhi's uncle running the show, you know, and starting a thing about wanting to get to a different place, you know, wanting to get traded or the whole thing with San Antonio to end up getting traded to Toronto before now being with the Clippers. We just never heard this. I think it's been the biggest adjustment for me, and I said I would never say the names on this, but guys, there's a lot of guys in professional sports can never play with Michael Jordan. They could never do it because he'd hurt their feelings.
Right.
You can't call your agent, say the coach is too hard on me, or the players pick on me, or, you know, I can't be myself, and I never thought in professional sports we'd get to a situation where a player would call his agent and the agent would call the general manager and say he's got to let up. The position coach has to let up. And the coordinator, offensive or defensive coordinator, is picking. He feels like my client feels like he's being picked on right now and he's not enjoying the sport. And he's really down and out. And I'm like, what? I can't even imagine somebody calling Don Shula to say, and I know, listen, I know this mental health thing. God, believe me. I understand the mental health thing now. Players get depressed and stuff. And, hey, I got depressed too when I dropped the ball and got my ass chewed. Right. But I just always, it's a different time. And I'm watching MJ get after guys and then fist fight and then make up after. And I'm like, yeah, that's how it was. Except I had a coach that was a strong personality.
Right.
And a lot of guys today, I hear these stories, they come back. And can you imagine a doctor goes to the coach and says, these guys are ready to go. They've been given the green light. And the coach goes, all right, well, we'll work them out. And then the guys right before the game, both of them, I'm not saying who they are, they tell the head coach or their position coach or the trainer, tell the coach I can't go. And they're all standing out there. I'm out there early, and they're working out, and I'm standing there next to Nat Moore, and I go, hey, he looks pretty good. I think he'll be ready to go. You know, I'm trying to get all the pregame stuff and getting ready to go on the radio. And then they send you that active and inactive list, and I'm wow,
he's not playing. Right.
And I always wonder how, I mean, that's a new school, old school thing, and I'm not talking about guys taking the needle. Those days are done, man. those guys, if there's a chance, their history, I don't think we'll be seeing those a lot unless, you know, guy begs to play at the end of his career and wants to play. But it's a lot different. It's a lot different time, man. I was watching a lot of that stuff going, man, how would that fly? Like, God bless Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen. Now, MJ respected Scottie Pippen, but it couldn't have been easy, man, right?
No, no.
If Scottie was to be really honest, I don't know what their relationship is. It seems like it's kind of up and down and everything else. And Scottie obviously was a great player, one of the top 50 players of all time. But
Jordan even called Phil when he wasn't playing to let him know what a bad look that was. You know what I mean? Like when he didn't go in for that game or a hot dog during. I mean, Jordan called him while he was probably on the Birmingham Barons bus. You know what I mean? Like just to say, ooh, like that's not like Scottie. What happened there? He'll never be able to get, you know, rid of that one. Like he wasn't even on the team. I can't even imagine if Jordan was in the huddle for that game and Scottie decided, listen, I should be the one taking the shot, not Michael. I'll be more open than Michael, as they know the ball's coming to Michael. Just get me the ball. And then Phil go, no, we're going to get Jordan the ball. You're going to be the one throwing the ball. And then Scottie, with Jordan on the team, said, I'm going to take this play off. Jordan would have crushed him.
Would have never happened.
Right. Jordan would have crushed him.
That would have never happened. If Michael Jordan's there, that would never happen, because Scottie's personality, he would have known. Like, I mean, it's clear. Nothing against Scottie. Scottie was a really good player.
And right.
I got a lot of respect for him, minus that one play that he's been bashed for his whole life, not going in a frigging game because he had to pass it instead of get the shot, which, by the way, worked out, which made you even look worse. Because
much worse. Right.
Kukoc hits the frigging shot with under 2 seconds left that kind of messed it up. We got 7 o'clock hour coming up, man. Got a lot more stuff. 56022. You want to join us on the text machine? We'll be back for the 7 o'clock hour right after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.